just returned very early this morning with the help of my wife from a personal spiritual pilgrimage. I am comfortable calling it a spiritual pilgrimage. You might call it something else. It was a spiritual experience for me on several different levels. It was profound because I was losing connection, a connection that has shaped me in my life. This is the first time that I've returned to my hometown, Thunder Bay, Ontario, when I didn't own a piece of property there. This old family cottage, I lost a major connection with the community. It's a cottage that my father had built before I was born, a cottage that I spent many, many wonderful summers at growing up. So my pilgrimage took me to Thunder Bay, Ontario, my hometown, a place where I spent the first 18 years of my life, a place where my parents were born, where they lived, and where they are buried. I was able to visit their grave. It's a place where most of my relatives still reside, or more of them are now buried there. On this pilgrimage, I flew into Thunder Bay. The experience of arriving by air or by road can be equally profound. But with the pressures of time and constraints, I arrive by air most often now. The plane approaches that city from over the ancient, cold, and forbidding waters of Lake Superior, Gichigumi. The islands and the peninsulas, as you look out the window of the plane as it's losing altitude, are shaped and scoured by glaciers from the last ice age, from 10,000 years ago. And the imprint of those glaciers is clear from the air. In one way, it seems like a timeless land, and yet what you see today is just the most recent geography, just a snapshot, a point in time, in a history of some 4 billion years. For the rock at the Canadian Shield in the area around Thunder Bay, some of the oldest rock on Earth. What makes this a spiritual experience for me is my connection to that land. I lived there for only about a quarter of my life, but those first formative years leave a lasting imprint. I feel connected to that land in a way that is not intellectual, it's visceral. There's a peninsula just outside of Thunder Bay that, when viewed from the city, presents the profile of a sleeping giant. On this trip, I drove into part of the city that used to be called Port Arthur, came over a crest, and suddenly the sleeping giant was looming in front of me. It took my breath away. I can't express how surprised I was, how impactful it was. Later on, while visiting, I drove down to Silver Beach, where we had our cottage. There wasn't anyone there, and I was able to walk the beach. But the old cabin, maybe I realized for the last time. I felt a constriction in my chest, a heaviness. It was profound, and it was unexpected. That cottage is the one place where I feel closest to my father. His handiwork is everywhere there. He cleared the land, and he built everything on the site himself. I come from a large family of over 40 aunts and uncles. Don't ask me to name them all. Of those 40, only 4 are now surviving. So during this pilgrimage, I visited 3 of those. All of them are in their 90s. I remember them so well in the prime of their life when I was growing up. And they would show up at the door unexpectedly. Thunder Bay, you never locked your doors. Anyone that knew you would come in the back door, knock on the door. The thing that I remember is stamping the feet. Because usually it was wintertime in Thunder Bay. You had to knock the snow off your feet. So the first thing you heard was the door open. Someone stamped the feet. And then somebody would yell, "Hey, Willie, I'm here." Willie was my dad. I got to spend an afternoon on this trip playing ukulele and singing old songs with my Aunt Stella, who's now 96 years old. She's outlived her husband and her children. Doesn't have very many friends left to visit. It was bittersweet, and it was spiritual. My formative years were spent in the company of five friends who called themselves the Odins. Not really a gang, but a group. We still call ourselves the Odins. We did all the things that young boys do as they transition to manhood. One of the Odins died last year, but two of them still live in Thunder Bay, and I spent time with them on this pilgrimage. I have a connection with these men that spans more than 50 years, and you cannot replace old friends. So I said all this in a way to introduce the idea of spirituality. You may or may not agree that my experience over the past week was spiritual, but that inevitably depends on your definition of that word, spiritual. For me, spirituality is a way of seeing. It's a way of being centered. Centered in your highest aspirations. It's a way of leading with your heart. As Unitarian Universalists, we come here bringing unique experiences of life. We choose to give our lives meaning in different ways. My decision to go to Thunder Bay, my decision to look at it as a pilgrimage, was a choice. A way of giving meaning to what was otherwise a trip to my hometown. For some, the idea of a guiding spirit behind the reality we experience is important. For others, the physical world is a given. And we give it meaning through our desire to create justice. I like that idea. It's been said that there's no such thing as justice. And that's why we are called to create it. We are a diverse group. We cherish the fact that we are all on individual paths. And yet we know that we are better together and we can learn from each other. We are all also in very different places in a lot of ways. And having spiritual perspective can sometimes be a luxury. Sometimes we are just overwhelmed with the things that we have to deal with. Whether that's the busyness of life, or whether that's the tragedies and the injustices that we struggle with. How are we to hold together such a diverse group that range from committed theists with a faith in God to committed atheists who have no use for the concept of God? What holds us together is a belief that we can learn and build community with all people of goodwill. That the theological divides do not separate us, but rather stimulate us to open ourselves and to celebrate a world of diversity. But in order to do this amazing work, to model this loving, diverse community, we need to be in dialogue in order to have meaning, and in order to have meaningful dialogue, we need to share vocabulary. There's an important message to be learned from the story of the Tower of Babel. The genesis of my sermon this morning was that we might be able to come to a common understanding of the word spiritual. Surely if everyone in the congregation had the same general understanding of this one word, and if we found this word meant something in our lives, then that would demonstrate a way to bridge our theological differences. We are a very polite group. I like that. And I want to encourage the sensitivity that we have to one another. But sometimes I get the sense that we stop talking to one another on a deep and profound level on matters of personal belief because we stumble on the words that divide us rather than unite us. There's a whole list of those words, like God, and love, and faith, and meaning, and spirituality. If Norm Sabowitz was here this morning, he'd be opening his digital dictionary and looking up definitions of each one of those words. So in the time remaining, let me propose an understanding of the word spirituality that we might all accept and use in dialogue. For me, spirituality and connection are very closely related. My spiritual pilgrimage to Thunder Bay was about the close connection that I feel with that place and with the people that I know there. Spirituality is not about material things, things of this universe. It's about the intangible connections between those things. I chose that portion of the famous Michelangelo painting for the cover of the Order of Service, picture of the hand of God and the hand of man separated by a small gap, to represent that immaterial connection. When you have an experience, a spiritual experience of nature, is it not a sense of profound connection with life? The life that we recognize that we are part of? I was traveling through airports. Lots of time to watch people. And so I was drawn to watch families and young children in particular. I feel a sense of connection with each young child that I see. A person like me, just beginning their own journey in this amazing thing that we call a lifetime. We're all connected in that way. We all have been given a lifetime, some longer than others, some more tragic than others. For those of us who have a spiritual experience that involves an imminent sense of a connection with God, our spiritual experience is again that sense of connection, of imminence, of being close. Not everyone shares the same experiences, but we all can share a deep and profound experience of feeling connected at one time or another. And this, I propose, is a universal experience of spirituality. I'd like to think that everyone has these deep spiritual experiences of connection, but I also know that loneliness is one of the most pervasive and destructive experiences in modern society. So the role of our congregation might be to promote that sense of connection in all of its profound, visceral, emotional, and intellectual manifestations. It occurred to me that we could all wish each other a rich, rewarding, spiritual life. Those aren't words that came to me easily that I thought I would speak easily to someone, walking up to a member of the congregation, wishing them a rich, profound, and rewarding spiritual life. But I hope that gives you something to think about. And I wish you all a rich, profound, and deeply spiritual life. May it be so. Amen.